I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
The 2020-21 season has proven to be stranger than fiction for former Everton left-back Anthony Robinson after joining Wigan Athletic last summer. Just days after suffering relegation with the Latics, the United States international sits down for a candid interview with Theo Squires to share all on a controversial season at the DW Stadium. The lowdown on how a heart problem ended any chance of a dream deadline day move to AC Milan in January, as well as enlightening insight on his Everton exit before looking to the future and his hopes of playing at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. It's a fascinating lesson about a remarkable season, so sit back and enjoy.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Anthony, thanks for joining us. Commiserations, obviously, for Wednesday night. Must be very hard for the whole squad. You've had two nights to sleep on it, to reflect on it. How are you feeling now?
I'm still devastated, to be honest, that, you know, for the second half of the season, and obviously I, you know, stopped playing at the start of January. I didn't start playing since till the lockdown return. But just since then, the whole team's like been outstanding, and we went on like an unbelievable run. And, you know, to be relegated because of things happening out of our control, it's just a real blow. But yeah, the lads like couldn't have really done as much more as we did.
Yeah, and looking at your results over the second half of the season, it's what, one defeat, and that was to Brentford, chasing promotion. One of your last games beating Hull City 8-0. It's only what, a late equaliser against Charlton that's effectively sent you down. If you ignore the outside stuff, must have been devastating for the whole squad, because it really did look like you were going to turn it around and stay up at one point.
Yeah, but obviously when you look at, if you look at the whole season, then we've dropped points plenty of times in games where we should have won or we should have drew and we've lost. So, you know, you can't, we all just couldn't look at it as, you know, Charlton is what sent us down, like that draw, or not being flat. Like the whole season just wasn't enough when you factor in the top points. But we looked like we could have even beaten Fulham for most of the game, and we just couldn't quite do it. So it's obviously really tough.
What was said in the dressing room after the game?
The managers came in and said, you know, he couldn't fault any single one of us for, you know, our attitude, our application. We've all put in an outstanding amount of effort, and unfortunately, it just weren't enough. But that he couldn't be prouder of us all, and that. You know, no matter what happens, like, we'll all go on to like do good things, and that we're just a great set of lads, which I can't disagree with. All every single lad was on the same page. No one was thinking about themselves, thinking of not playing till the end of the season, especially not even just before the 12-point deduction, when it was came to like contract renewals and people doing extensions. No one was thinking about themselves. All the lads were just buying in it for each other and playing till the end of the season. So just showed up like together we all were, and you know, the gaffer seen that.
I think that must make it all the more painful, like looking from it at it from the outside. It's the worst way to go down. Like the administration, it seemed to almost come out of nowhere when you've just been taken over, when you know you're going to have this 12-point penalty but you don't know when it's come into place, all this uncertainty. And to still manage to go from effectively what, the relegation zone to mid-table, to be close to the playoffs, then going down, and then to just lose it is the worst way to go down. It must be heartbreaking for you.
It's definitely the worst way to go down, without a doubt. And it's just unfortunate that now, you know, like with the team going down and the financial situation, where we know a lot of lads are going to be leaving, and it's just a horrible way to break up like a group of lads who all really get on and really on the same page. And
Wigan could technically still appeal. They could get it overturned. There's still that uncertainty there. I think the Football League dates have been confirmed today. Have you been told, like, anything said to the squad, what happens next, or have you just been told to enjoy your summer, switch off as much as you can, and then you'll see what happens at the end of it?
Yeah, just literally been told it's out of our hands now, and what will be. So at the minute, we're all just, you know, assuming the worst, but open for the best.
And can you offer us some insight into what was happening behind the scenes at Wigan? Obviously, we've heard the stories of staff losing their jobs and all this. It just seems crazy from outside when you look into it with the takeover happening, with all the uncertainty there and question marks over it, and then administration.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. When the administrators come in to speak to the players and stuff and just say what's going on, what's happened and what happens from now, I'm not even going to pretend I understood fully what was going on, because it just sounded like a bizarre situation, from start to finish, everything they said. And it's very unfortunate that, you know, something like that can cost, I think, 75 staff members the job. Some of who would have worked at the club for, 10, 15, 20 odd years and love the club. So it's just devastating, really.
And what was the dressing room reaction after administration was confirmed, when you were told you would have this penalty? What did the manager say to you? Because it did seem to really bring the squad together even more to try and stay up.
Yeah, well, obviously it came the day after we beat Stoke, when we all just assumed, that's probably us safe. So we're all unbelievably happy. And then next minute, we're on it's our day off. We all just see the news. We're going into admin. So we go in Thursday, and they just said, "Well, we're getting a 12-point deduction. You're probably not going to get paid in full, on time, all that stuff. But you know, everything else, it's completely up to you. At some point, you're going to get paid. If you just want, you've got however many games left to make up the points that you need. There's no reason why you can't go and do it again. You've been on an amazing run."
And you went through tough times at Bolton when you're on loan there with the takeover and all that happening there. But it just seems so much worse. It's like going through it once doesn't prepare you for it.
No, I think as well at Bolton, there was signs of it. And you could progressively see it getting to the stage where it would get worrying. But at Wigan, it just came out and there was no one not getting paid. No money pinching or anything like that. And it just... one day we go into administration over some, it just seems all really dodgy. So I don't think anyone was prepared for it.
As well as feeling upset about relegation as well, is there an anger in the squad at how this has been handled, almost been let down by the Football League for fair and proper tests with owners and everything? Wigan should not have been relegated if you look at the facts like that.
Yeah, when you look at it like that, it should just be the teams who played the worst go down. And then, you can always factor in teams you were rumoured to be getting points deducted, Sheffield Wednesday and Derby County. You think they're going to get points deducted, they could go bowlers as well. But that obviously got believed, and we just got slapped with it straight away because, technicalities and things, there's a lot of ways you look at it, but I don't even think the boys were just angry, just disappointed. That's how it's come down to it.
And with the club being in administration, players are going to be sold. Where do you see your future? Are you going to be at Wigan next season, or are you going to have to consider moving on for the good of the club with needing money?
Definitely have to consider moving on. It's not just, of course, Wigan need the funds, and they're going to sell whoever the most attractive players are in the team who they can sell. And I was already up for sale in January. So hopefully that means I can kick on. And if it's the best for me, then of course we're going to let me go. But I'll see what happens. That's out of my hands as well. Hopefully, if I've done well enough, then someone comes in for me and it works for Wigan and myself. But if not, then it's a crack on.
I'm not sure if you'd have seen it earlier this month, but you're actually linked with Leicester City, with Ben Chilwell being linked with Chelsea. Potential Champions League football. That would certainly be a contrast of emotions if you're going from what you've had with Wigan to joining one of the top teams in the country at the moment.
Yeah, I can't even go on like that. If my agent calls me and says, "Yeah, a team like that's in for me," then I'm jumping at it. But obviously, my main goal next season, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, I just want to play. So I just have to see what happens. And as I said, I haven't really thought about it too much yet.
I'm just thinking, it's not even been a year yet since you left Everton. If someone had said to you when you left that all of this would happen in the next 12 months, you'd have thought them crazy. You've just had incredible 12 months for a whole variety of reasons.
Yeah, it's been a very strange 12 months. I'd have never thought you know, a lot of the events sort of happen, like personally and then economically with the club and stuff. And just think, it's been madness, even in the whole world, like with this virus going on, things like that. It's just been a mad year, but see what happens.
And I can't talk to you without mentioning that nearly moved to AC Milan. That almost seemed to come out of nowhere as well. What were the feelings that, going through your head at the time around it all? Like, we've seen the footage of you flying out to Milan and everything. Must have been crazy having moved from Everton only 6 months earlier.
It was crazy considering. But to be fair, when I signed for Wigan, they said to me, like, you've got everything to kick on and develop, and you won't be here for much longer than, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. And it just came really out of the blue really quickly that, you know, 6 months into my second season with them, like, a massive team comes in. And it's the stuff of dreams. You don't see people moving from a team in the relegation fight going to, you know, one of the biggest teams in the world. So it was a mad, like, emotional roller coaster. I had, like, 15 days I was linked with them in mid-January, just wondering what was going to happen. And then to finally get out there and, you know, be thinking, oh, they're going to find something wrong with, like, in the medical, but not thinking it's going to be my arse. Yeah, massive.
How late did the move from them actually come? Because, like you said, they've been linked for 2 weeks, and it seemed the only reason it didn't happen was because it was late on and with the medical stuff.
So I was, they'd been in contact with me for a while. I think they've been watching me for a long time, but there was... But I didn't, like, actually, like, fully get linked, and it was in the press and stuff till, like, mid-January. And then it was, I think, 2 days. It was after my final game of Jan before I left. So I think Swansea away, maybe. Someone like that, like the 30th of Jan or something, the day before the deadline day, they said, yeah, fee's been agreed with Wigan, you're going tomorrow. So I was literally, it was about 7 o'clock at night, and I just had to pack a bag.
And it's funny, like, now when you Google your name, you see a load of YouTube videos come up. Anthony Robinson, welcome to AC Milan. That must be quite surreal as well, considering everything.
That all comes up.
Like, you've got fan compilations of your best bits.
Oh, I'll also look at them. I need them compilations now.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But then if you think of AC Milan, I don't want to weigh on it too much because obviously it didn't happen, but been playing at San Siro, would have been playing with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it would have been the move that things are dream, stuff of dreams.
Yeah, definitely would have been the move of dreams, you know, moving away abroad. It was a really, really exciting time to go to, like, a top flight football team. Obviously, I never got my chance at Everton, so, you know, team in the top flight to actually say, right, he's a player we want to give a chance to at some point. And it was, like, a really exciting time in my life. And I was just ready for this new challenge. Started trying to learn Italian things, just engaged, and then
I know you said you can't really think about your future at the moment too much, but any chance of Milan coming back in, do you reckon, or just that gone? Is the contact ended now?
There's a chance, like, I kept watching to see how I got on, and they were great from when when I was getting all my testing for my heart things. When I came back in the medical thing, I still had to do testing at Wigan. They were really great, like, keeping in touch and seeing how I was and things like that. So, like, you know, I wouldn't rule it out, but the main thing for me next year is I want to keep playing, I want to keep doing well and performing. So if it looks like I'm not going to start, then it might not be an option unless I don't get any better in terms of actually starting.
Mum, I think there were contrasting reports when it did fall through that it was just it ran out of time for you to go through all the medical tests, or there was a disagreement over the fee, moving the goalposts at the last minute, or it was that the heart issue. Are you able to clear that up for us?
Yeah, it was because something to do. You need a license like to play over there. Like health wise, you need to be like issued a license to say, oh, this is all fine. And I couldn't get one because of my heart irregularity at the time. And they said the testing that I'd have required to like determine what was wrong, like definitely, would have took 3 days minimum of testing. So we were obviously on deadline day, and they've said, so if we sign you and then your testing messes up, you won't be able to play for us. And even if we loan you, and you won't be able to go back and you won't be able to play. So it just couldn't happen.
How do you bounce back from that mentally? Because obviously you're a young lad, and to be told this a problem with your heart that's cost you this move must have been quite a scary thing to hear when you're out there.
Yeah, definitely. It was a tough thing. It's more scary for like my mum and dad, my family, just hearing that I could have something wrong with my heart. It's like if you're not like a cardiologist, you hear a heart problem and you're really worried. But all the cardiologist at Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital, who I'd been dealing with doing the testing and who I was supposed to have my procedure with, they were great with me and just like laid everything out, just said, here's your chances that a procedure is going to work, here's the procedure you might have to do, here's the medication you might have to have. And I just got my head around it really quickly that it's absolutely out of my hands if it works or not. So there's no point worrying about it not working. And like not being able to play or anything like that. I was just devastated that I was missing games when I feel fit and healthy. So the fact that when I went in for my procedure and it ended up that I was fine and the irregularity seemed to have corrected itself, so I didn't even end up having to have the procedure, made it like that much better that I was like doing my own training, doing my own running, and I was ready to go straight back in.
So touch wood, you're all good now. The pandemic suspension, it's ultimately gave you the chance to return to football quicker than you would have done, because you must have thought at the time that that was probably your season over.
Yeah, at the time it was looking like season over. It would have been similar. I had my operation schedule from March, and then it could have, if I'd have went through with it, it would have looked like, you know, a 4 to 6 week recovery period, I believe. So that would have took me to the end of the season. But luckily, I didn't even end up having to have it. And I just had to wait like a couple of days after the procedure to do a couple more tests to make sure I was like cleared and all ready to play.
For our listeners listening to this at the moment, they must be thinking it's all negative, 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 these things that are out of your hands. But there are positives from your season too. Like, you've played a lot of football, which is what you needed as a player. You scored your first professional goal. It seems like you've really taken that step forward in your career. Like, you know, when you're a lone player, it's always, you need that permanent home to settle and push on again.
Yeah, I definitely think you need like an environment to breed your confidence in. I was in a team of lads who all like thought really highly of me. The gaffer had so much trust in me, playing me week in, week out. And that just built the confidence in myself that, you know, I'm a trustworthy enough player to be starting week in, week out. I must be good enough. And I just kicked on from there, really. And yeah, it's been really good for my development, I believe.
And what have you thought of Everton's season? Have you kept an eye on it from afar?
It's been a very mixed bag for Everton. I think it's just, obviously now they've got a world-class manager and we'll have to see what happens. I think they just wanted to get this season out the way and see, you know, who features next year for us 100%, who's iffy, and then who do we need to get in, where do we need to replace? And it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't just build a great team out of players that you've not put together yourself. So I think the lads really buy into what Carlo's doing, and next season hopefully they kick on a bit and it just keeps getting better and better for them. That's what I hope for them anyway.
You mentioned earlier that you didn't really get your opportunity at Everton, but then if you'd stayed a few months you'd have been playing under Carlo Ancelotti. Who knows what could have happened? Has that ever been something that you have thought about, that it was a missed opportunity to play for one of the managerial greats, or no regrets at all, completely happy with the decision you made last summer?
No, not one regret. Like, they were really honest with me, Evan. They just said, we got rid of a few players, but we need to keep Bainsy, because we can't really get rid of Jags captain and lose Baines as well. It's, you know, getting rid of so much of Everton in the training room and stuff. And he's such a good player as well still. So we've got him. Obviously, Dinya starts for us. So you'd have to wait for two injuries to start. He's not even making the bench at the minute. So we think it's best that you just leave. It's nothing to do with you. It's just like you need to play. And I'm really thankful that they were that up front of Mars, really, to gave me the chance to go away and progress elsewhere. I mean, you'd never know what could have happened, but I'm not one for thinking, oh, this could have happened if this happened. I just get on with it, really.
And from your time at Everton, who were the best players that you trained with, who looked after you most? I'd imagine Baines and Jagielka are two of the ones who are right up there.
Baines, yeah, top class. Jags, lovely lad. Seamus is probably one of the most inspiring. He's, like, the passion he has in training and games, it, you know, just shines through above everyone. Like, you can see how much it means to him. He's full on, you know, Everton in his heart, and he's always helpful. Always gives, still messages me now, like saying you're doing so well and stuff, and keep going. He's a top lad. Gomez, unbelievable player in training. But, you know, there's loads of lads at Everton with so much ability. It's, I think they just need to harness it. And next season, they could have a real good chance of doing well.
Is Andre Gomez the best player you've faced in training? One of the toughest to come along, or is there someone else that comes to mind as well?
No, he's definitely one of the toughest I've trained against.
And then for you, looking to the future, obviously you're a United States international. You're going to have your eyes on that World Cup in 2022. Wherever you're playing your football next season, there are positives. You are pushing on. It should be the start of an exciting career if it all clicks for you at the right moment and things are back in your control.
Yeah, well, I've been obviously waiting a while now. Unfortunately, I missed out on the Gold Cup last summer, which I'd love to play in. It would have been my first international tournament and stuff. So I'm just waiting now. I'm hoping I've done good enough that the next time the international games come around, that I've done well enough to, you know, be called up and hopefully start as well. Because, you know, I do want to play. I don't want to be second fiddle to anyone anywhere. Like, it's just not in my nature. But when it comes to World Cup qualifying, I'm desperate to win anything. So, you know, I'll have my heart set on doing really well, and that'd be a dream come true, playing in the World Cup as well.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue podcast from the Liverpool Echo.